Smith. I like what Benny said, man. Oh, that's who it was. Thank you. Marina is getting close. And so just remember her in prayer, because the closer it gets, the more miserable she gets too. And I've never had a pregnancy, but I have had a pregnant wife, and I remember watching her go through things, and I hated it for her. So y'all remember, and daughter-in-laws, watching them go through it. So y'all remember her in prayer. Like the woman who thought she was going to die, she had a near-death experience, and God said, no, you're going to be okay. I'm giving you another 50 years. And so she says, well, while I'm in the hospital, I might as well go ahead. And she got a facelift, a tummy tuck. She got all kinds of plastic surgery done. And she walks out, and on the way out, she gets hit by a car and gets killed. And she stands up before the pearly gate. She says, I thought you said I had 50 years left. He said, you did, but I didn't recognize you. Okay. Bob Dorn, little short, skinny, ugly guy with no hair. Well, he's kind of tall to most people. I don't know. He's an awesome man. He was one before the Navy SEALs were called Navy SEALs. They were called Frogmen, and he's adorable. Okay. Okay, well, Bob's a good guy. I've been knowing him a long, long time. When I first saw him at the gym, I hadn't seen him in 10, 15 years, and I saw him at the gym, and I said, you're doing pretty good for what I heard about you. He said, what was that? I said, I heard you were dead. He said, no, I ain't dead. But he's really, really awesome. He really is a good guy. Okay, Donna Powell. Okay. My friend who died this week, his family. Yeah, it's been wild because also I had a friend I went to school with. Also, I was his pastor. I was his pastor for years, but a good friend of mine, he died this weekend, so let's remember him. We were the same age. My cousin died. He was a year older than me. It's making me think, you know, I've been burying, I've buried three classmates, and I've been around two other classmates that have died. And one time while I was at the funeral home at the graveyard, one of my classmates, another classmate of mine was digging the grave, came to me and said, be careful how you walk around here. I said, why? He says, because we got two or three other classmates in the funeral home right now. So the class of 78 is trying to go out of here. Hastily. Edsel? My brother Hastily's dead. Mm-hmm. They were all Hastily's. My age. Okay. I don't know how to ask Daniel. He works with Daniel. I have to ask Daniel. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, Lord, right now. Touch. Ask you, Lord, to touch Jeannie's mouth, Lord, these sores. Touch her, Lord. Let her feel relief. Let her feel your power and your anointing rush through her mouth right now. I know it's such an unpleasant thing. Bless her, Lord, in a very powerful way. Take the sores away. Touch Marina. Lord, help her, Lord, to go ahead and have this baby. Lord, let Liam come on. And until then, help her to be able to handle this, Lord. And even touch Sierra, Lord, with her ailments, Lord. And I ask you right now, Lord, to touch my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. Touch my wife. Minister to all of them. My wife is not getting the rest that she needs, and it's affecting her. Bless her too, Lord. We know, God, that you're all-powerful. You're able. Minister to every prayer request. There's so many, Lord. There's more we didn't even name. Lord, minister to them all, Father, spoken and unspoken alike. You are more than able. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you for it. Church said, amen. Yeah, Bob Dorn was telling, was it Bob? No, Bob Dorn had a, Bob Dorn used to be Episcopal. And he was an Episcopal elder. But he told me, one of his pastors told me about the time that once you take the communion wine, and this wine, once you consecrate the wine, you cannot, yeah, it has to all be drank. Okay. And so they had the wine and they had it all there and said the last elder come up. It was a woman. She come up and he went to get the pastor. It was his first communion. Went to give her communion and she reached over to get the cup and her top plate fell out into the, and she looked up and grinned with no teeth. And had had her teeth in the communion wine. And so she reached down and pulled the communion wine out and stuck it back in her mouth. And he called his bishop and said, we got a problem. He says, well, I said, my elder's false teachers fell in the communion wine. He says, you know you got to drink it. And he said, I quit. and the man, and then his bishop laughed at him and said, go outside. Thank God for it, and pour it on the ground in one little spot. That'll be holy ground. He said, thank you. I can't imagine trying to take drink the wine after. I thought they were leaving. Are you leaving? Are you going to go ahead and leave? Okay, please do. I didn't mean it that way. That sounded bad. That was not the way it said it sounded. Look, I meant her mouth's hurting. I said, go ahead and leave and get some rest in your mouth. She got sores all inside of her mouth, ulcers, and that hurts me to look at it. So it took a lot for her to even be here to do this tonight. Matter of fact, Jeannie, that was awesome for you to be here. And now go home. No, or get a milkshake or something and get in your mouth, but you know. She's under a doctor's care, but even the doctor, you know what you do when you get, I've been trying to tell her, you just do when you get ulcers in your mouth, gargle with vinegar. It burns, but it works. It works. But I never had that many. So I'd probably, look, I don't know if that many, I don't know, I always had one, but that one, that vinegar always took, it hurt to start with, but after you did it the second or third time, it made it. Okay. All right, we're going to get carried away here. Jeannie, we all love you, and we thank you for being here. Now go home, please. Okay, get some rest. She's been here all day. She's been here all day, and her mouth's been hurting. So, okay. And answering the phone at school yet. And you're talking, answering the phone with your mouth. I had a hard enough time when my wisdom teeth came in. I was like a big baby. I thought I was gonna go out of here. I cut three wisdom teeth at one time, and I was like 20. DC, we only had DC at the time, I think. So I had I don't know about 25, but I'm gonna tell you what. I thought I'd seen Jesus. I'm sure that won friends and influenced people. Okay. Here we go. We started last week about the way, I mean, we're talking about the four ways God reveals himself. And last week, again, let's see, can't keep up with it. But last week, we talked about through conscience, and we talked about, I had them up here, but they got all kind of moved around. We talked about through creation, and we talked about through conscience, and last week, communication. And so this is what we're going to talk about. Another way of communication is the Bible. I thank God for the Bible, because, you know, it's kind of hard. I remember Procter & Gamble. I hated it, but I liked it at the same time. It always seemed like wherever I'd go, one of my jobs would be whenever we got new equipment was to get the information. And I'd be there when Eastern Omni or Daniels would come in and they would install it. I'd be there while they installed it. And then I would do PSI. PSI is where you actually go make sure they wired it like this drawing set to be wired. And there's a static PSI. So I did the PSI. And then after we made sure everything was wired right, then we turn it on and work everything before we turn it over to everybody and make sure it's worked. So I get to do all that, which, like I said, it was good and bad because it was a tedious job at times. And I'm sure you've done that, Dudley, because you did electrical. And I'm pretty sure you've done that, too. Yeah, so it was some heavy-duty stuff, but I always appreciated having the good information. I'd always hate to get handed me the information that was in another language. Yeah, you get another language, it makes it very... Oh, it's like we had Germans come over to our plant, and we were trying to make Pampers. We were making Pampers and sending them to Germany. And so instead, it was going to be cheaper for us to take a line and convert it to 50 hertz and send it over to Germany and make it over there. So they sent the German engineers to us, and then we sent our crew over with the German engineers after we showed them that, and then they started making Pampers in Germany. It was kind of funny because Germans don't seem to have much of a sense of humor. And I was in the break room one night, and they were all sitting around talking German, and they were all looking kind of mean, and somebody said, I think you need to leave them alone. I said, no, I can't stand them. They got to know, you know, we're all right. And they said, leave them alone, David. And I said, no, somebody's got to stand up for us. Them that we're okay. We're good old boys. And they said, they don't like good old boys. Just leave them alone. So I just walked up to them while they were talking, looking mean. I said, from the way y'all talk, I take it y'all ain't from around here. And they did not like that. Matter of fact, I did not win me any friends that night. That didn't work. So, but again, you put things together. As long as I had the proper book, I weren't afraid to tackle anything because the proper book always helped you find the answer. Oh, yeah. You're right. So here we go. The Bible. This is God's answer to man. This is also, if you want to know how to treat people, there is your operations manual. If you want to know how to act before God, there's your operations manual. If you want to know how to act in your marriage, there's your operational manual. If you want to know how to treat people on your job, how to work on your job, it's not going to tell you how to install a PLC or how to do computer programming, but it will tell you how to treat people, and it will tell you how to do your job. Okay? So this is a very powerful, powerful book. And so here we're going to talk just briefly how God does this. God, this is part two. Last week we started talking about the communication. So here we're going to talk about the Bible. If God is truly knowable, and this is the four ways, and he is, the question we need to ask is how can we come to him? And God has revealed himself and his nature in different ways so that we can know him. What are these ways? Here it is. We talked about communication. Here's the Bible. Now, and I want you, if you got your pen, I want you to write some stuff down in your little space provided below. But his Bible is prophetic. I didn't say pathetic. Prophetic, which keeps us from being pathetic. You hear me? It is prophetic, which keeps us from being pathetic. And the reason it's prophetic, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to go back and talk about it. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So here we go. It's prophetic, and write this down. God always knows. Put it there. God always knows. And then, beside that, put your little mark and say, prophetic means it, I mean, prophetic or his word prevents us from stepping into traps. Think about Elijah and him telling where the king was going to meet, or Elisha, where the king's going to meet at, and where the ambush is at. And the king says, somebody's telling this on me. And he says, it's Elisha. You know, and what it was it was prophetic. When the prophet spoke, it was probably the prophetic word of God. This is our prophet right here. So it prevents us from stepping into things. It prevents us from sin. It prevents us from trouble if we'll watch it and read it. Now, my problem is I read it and then don't necessarily do it. It's like the man looks in the glass, like James says, and forgets what he saw. I know I'm the only one in here. But I see it tells me how to handle people, and I let David Linton overcome God in me. Come on, don't shout me down. I let David Linton's opinion override God's opinion. David Linton's opinion override what God knows is a fact. I was walking through Walmart last night, and y'all be proud of me. I kept my mouth shut. I walked through, and there's some guys outside, and one guy says, you know how it is. I mean, he just tore somebody up. You could see the smoke still on, like he'd been smoking one of those big old cigars about to be around that had a big old explosion in it, and his face was all about like this. He'd all exploded on him. And he goes, man, that hurt. And he goes, you know how it is. And this other says, I just tell it like it is. And I went through. Because I wanted to say, no, you didn't tell it like it is. You told it how you saw it. I said, there's only one person tells it like it is, and that's God. I can tell you how I see it because, matter of fact, I may see it one way, and once I understand it, I'll see it another way. Okay? So a lot of times what I tell it like it is, but you know, when I tell it like it is, I'm telling you what I think according to my limited knowledge. Somebody tells you, they just tell it like it is. No, they're telling you what they understand according to their limited knowledge. The only person in this world that can tell you like it is God. They forget. Well, not only that, but you know, there's a movie called Vantage Point. It's with Dennis Quaid, and there's an assassination attempt. I can't remember if it was successful or not, but it was successful. And they're trying to say, well, what happened? And they've got like 12 people. Y'all remember this movie? There's like 12 people, and each one from their vantage point tells what happens, and it looks like an entirely different movie. Okay, so it prevents us from pitfalls, from sin, from trouble, and it protects us. Protects us. It's a covering. So not only does it prevent it, it protects us. It's kind of like when you're brushing your teeth and using fluoride. You know, brushing them can prevent something getting caught in there, but then the fluoride on top of it protects it. Helps to stay strong. Same way. So, remember, God always knows. And he's the only, well, when I say God, you know it's Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but God is the only one that always knows. Number two, inspired. Of course, it says it's God-breathed. It says it's given by inspiration of God, but I went ahead and give another version of it here. It's all scripture is inspired or God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now I want you to do this. At the bottom, put always fresh. Number one, you put God always knows. Number two, always fresh. You know how you can take a scripture? I when I first started preaching, I thought you could only preach on a certain scripture one time. You had to find another scripture. And after I got pastoring, not evangelizing, see, evangelists really have it kind of made. You think, man, that's the best guy I've ever heard preach. I reckon so. He's preached that sermon 100 times. Yeah. He preached that sermon so many times, he can polish it. He can move it around. You know, hey, you know, but you get a pastor, especially when I had one pastor friend, he left every year to a year and a half. He left the church, went somewhere else. I said, why do you always only stay for a year and a half? He says, I run out of sermons. And I said, you run out of sermons? I said, God doesn't run out of information. I said, you get to know your sheep, and then you see the situations, and you also tell them what's going on out there and connected. You know, and so it just, you know, see, God's word comes from his mouth. Matter of fact, John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the, Jesus called the word. And in Genesis 3 it says, the voice of the Lord was walking through the garden. Have you ever noticed that? Look it up in Genesis chapter 3. It didn't say God was walking through the garden. This is awesome. But you can take it in, and you got to work on it. Rework them. Okay. In chapter 3, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking through the garden. Didn't say God. It said the voice. So what was that that was walking through the garden? The word. And so, you know what? It says right here, it's profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training all righteousness, because when people hear the word, they get what? Convicted. Okay? Some get mad. I've had people get mad. I've had people want to fight. I go, I'm not here to fight. You asked me. If you don't want me to tell you what the Bible says, then don't ask me. And I'm not trying to, and I say, it's not my job to convict. See, if I've got to bully you into believing something, then I've taken the work, God's Holy Spirit's work, and put it on myself. That's fine. That's fine. I know, but that's okay. Because I tell them, say, believe what you want to believe. I'm just telling you what I'm reading. Okay. Now, there are some people try to argue me down with the word, and that's fine. Here's what I'll tell them. I'll tell them, especially at prison, I'll tell them, so look, I'll listen to you. And I'll see what you got to say. But I just need you to know that if you're going to come up with some kind of wild mess, I'm not even going to worry about it. You know, because I know what the word says. And I believe it. I believe the word. But getting back here, again, God's word is so powerful and it's always fresh. Like I was saying, you could read like David and Goliath, one of my favorite stories. I preached on it one time, didn't think I could preach on it again. And I found out the first 5 years I pastored, I bet I preached on it at least two times a year and then referenced back to it two, three, four more times. It's because here it is, because the word is quick and powerful, which means it's life-giving. It's alive, it's fresh, and it's life-giving. And so it's fresh. So again, when you need something, I can take any other book in the world has revised versions, meaning they had to keep adding information. If you see anything revised in this, all it is it's another different, it's a different translation, but they haven't revised it. It doesn't need revising. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh, there's all kinds of ways you can look at it. That's right. But every scripture, that's right. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, is profitable for instruction, reproof, conviction of sin, for the correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, and thought, purpose, and action. I like this version here. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, because whenever you're not doing it God's way, they rebel. I was in the hospital today waiting for Norma, and we were sitting there, and a woman come in, and she had three children. She had an infant, and she had a small child, and she had an older child. The older child had some type of mental problem. I'm not sure what it was, some type of retardation, and so she brought him in. I know he was an older child because he had a goatee like his daddy, but he was still small. The goatee, and I could tell that he was not capable of being there by himself. And all of a sudden, I'm sorry. I thought my phone was going off for a minute. I said, it can't be me. Ready? So, I was going to say is I was playing with him then. I was going to play with you. I was going to say, tell him I'm busy. Tell him I'm calling back. I was playing with Eddie. Yeah, I can play with Eddie like that. Some of y'all might get mad if I did something like that. But Eddie would say the same thing to me if my phone went off. Tell him I'll be there in a minute. But this young man, he kept playing with stuff around him, and his daddy kept trying to stop him. And he kept trying to do it, and his daddy would try to stop him. And I watched him, and I thought about it. And this scripture even came to mind because exposing our rebellion. Sometimes we're doing something, and God's trying to stop us. And we're still determined to do it our way. And when you're determined to do it your way, you know what it's really called? Rebellion. You know what sin is? Rebellion. Because you're doing it your way versus God's way. So, and training us to live God's way. Correcting our mistakes. Here, inspired. Third word. It is purposeful. And put, there's always a reason. There's always a reason. So is my word that goes out from my mouth that will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Isaiah 55:11. God never speaks for no. That's a double negative. God never speaks. I'm still double negative. I'll do it anyway. God never speaks without a reason. There you go. God never speaks without a reason. We will. I do. Y'all know I do. I know some of y'all do. Do all of you do that sometimes? You get off track, chase the bunny down the track, come back up, chase him again. Yeah, God doesn't. You know, the Bible says if all the things Jesus did were written in a book, the books wouldn't contain it. We don't have all those works. It's not written down. You know, we don't know how many he actually raised from the dead. We don't know how actually some of the things he done because it's not recorded. You know why it's not recorded? But it's not needed. Yeah, it would be wonderful. Yeah, but God didn't want us to know that. God wanted us to know that he was normal. At 12, he had an understanding that he was supposed to be about his father's business. But he also was in subjection to his earthly parents. And from birth to 30, he'd have normal. Pretty normal life. But we do know that Joseph died at an early age. And Joseph was older than Mary, so we don't know how much of an early age. But we do know that he died, and so Jesus from 0 to 30 was learning, doing the same things we done. He provided for a family because he was the oldest. He knew what it was like to run a business. He knew what it was like to meet schedules. He knew what it was like to live on a budget. He knew what it was like to operate on a budget because he did all that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, he did all that. So again, though, God did not need us to know every. Can you imagine what the disciples saw? Wow. And they just hit the highlights. The reason they hit the highlights is because that's all we needed to know. Like Jack Webb, just the facts, man, just the facts. Okay, just the highlights. There's no telling. There's no telling. We don't know. That's right. You're right. So just remember, he said, so my word that goes out from my mouth is not returned to me empty, but will accomplish that which I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, I want you to remember this about God's word, and we'll be real quick about it, so you want to write it down if you want to remember this. And I'm thinking about preaching a sermon on it. It says, for as the rain comes down and the snow, verse 10, verse 9 says, for the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10 says, for as the rain comes down in the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I send it. Number 1. In verse 10, God's word always gets results. Always. That's why you need to know God's word. God's word always gets results. Verse 10 also, his word not only will get results, his word will furnish the tools and the resources that we need. There's people that can't walk, but they can read that word. There's people that can't even see, but they can through Braille or through tapes, and they're just as powerful as you are. They may not can hammer a nail. They may not can drive a car, but they're just as powerful as you are when they speak that word. Right? I remember I told you the times that like the guy that couldn't talk. He could not talk at all. I was right there with him. And I had no idea he was going to die that night. But I said, I'm gonna cut to the chase. Are you ready to meet God? Blink your eyes once for yes and twice for no. And I said, are you ready to meet God? He blinked his eyes twice, no. I said, do you want to know him? He blinked his eyes once. Yes, I want to know him. And I said, do you want me to pray with you the sinner's prayer? He blinked his eyes once again. I said, I know you can't talk. He was eating slam up. Yes, I know you can't talk, but all you gotta do is if you agree with what I'm saying, I want you to blink those eyes. And now I led him through the sinner's prayer and I said, do you? And I say this, and he'd blink his eyes, yes, 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 yes. And I said, you were saved, and a tear came down his eye. And he died an hour later. He never had to listen. He never even said a word. He acknowledged the word. Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But he just acknowledged. He acknowledged the word. All right. Secondly, his word will, according to verse 10, his word will meet your needs. Verse 11, his word will perform his will. In verse 12, his word will satisfy the soul of the hearers always. So, there's your little sermon in if you want to preach to somebody. Purposeful. There is a reason. There's always a reason. Now, next word, inerrant. How many here want to know what you're talking about? When you're talking, how many here really want to know what they're talking about? Put your hands up. Yeah. And we all know what we're talking about. How many feel funny when you're not sure what you're talking about? How many? You know what men will do? Here's what men will do. Men will say something that will make their wives mad, and they're so dumb they don't even realize it, and they'll say it again. And just to make it worse, they'll say it again. You know, I say, Linda, did you think about blah, blah, blah? And she goes, I said, I'm sorry, Dad, I was just trying to help. Did you think about blah, blah? And she goes, and I go, but dear, if you think about this, and she goes, will you please just walk away? Okay? And I'm thinking I'm helping. Okay, sometimes the way you can help is keep your mouth shut. Amen. Men, I'm talking to men now. There's only one, two, four of us in here. But it all takes is one man to know that we're wrong. Okay, so again, inerrant. But I'm trying to say it, I was trying to be funny then, but honestly, inerrant. Every work of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him, Psalm 30 and 5. That is a powerful, powerful message. The believer replied, every promise of God proves true. He protects everyone who runs to him for help. So inerrant, watch this. Not only does God always know, and not only is God's word always fresh, and not only does God always have a reason, and not only that, but now his word is never wrong. Write it down. It's never wrong. You can trust the word of God. It's never wrong. Wow. That's powerful. Never wrong. I like to think I was never wrong. I remember looking over at Daniel one time. He was a little bitty fella. We were at the Pizza Inn. And he was one night. I said, you don't pick your pizza. If you pick your pizza, you better eat it. I said, I'll pick them for you. Daddy, I know what I'm doing. All right. Then if you pick your pizza, you're going to eat it. He goes and picks his pizza. I didn't know what kind of pizza he had. He wouldn't eat it. First off, I told him, I said, stand up in the seat. He said, I am standing. So I felt bad about that. Little bitty fella. And I said, eat that pizza. He said, I can't. I said, I told you if you pick it, you're going to eat it. He said, Daddy, it's hot. I said, this pizza's all right. Eat it. And Beverly looked over at me and said, maybe you ought to eat it. And I said, why? He had gone to that buffet and picked up a jalapeno pizza. He didn't know. I know I did. And I didn't make him eat it. I did not. What I was going to say is, now, if Beverly was big enough, she would have tried. I'm telling you. I was faster than her. Okay. But remember, he's never wrong. It can be trusted under any circumstance. Under any circumstance, it can be trusted. The next word, sufficient. The next three words, they're synonyms. At the same time, they play off each other. The next one is sufficient. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that goes right back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it says, 16, where it says it is God breathed. A little bit further down, it says, through God we are put together and shaped and shaped up for the task God has for us. That's what it's talking about. So sufficient. Now put this down. God's word is, this is awesome stuff, isn't it? Awesome. God's word is always enough. If you can't think of anything else to say, say God's word. I had somebody not long ago trying to argue with me, and they come up with all these things. You'd have thought they had a machine gun. They just kept putting all the negative stuff in it, and boom, 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 boom. And so I just put, God's got this. And they were boom, 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 boom. And I said, matter of fact, my God's bigger than all this. Boom, 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 boom. And I said, I'll trust him until the day I die, because God's word never fails. Boom, 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 boom. And instead of me getting into that, I just finally said, don't you trust him? He's got it. And the next text that came was sweet versus sour. Because although that person was trying to boom, 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 instead, they kept hearing the word, the word, the word, the word. And you know what? Eventually, they got tired of fighting because they were throwing all these negatives, and I was throwing the word. Okay? I've discovered in my life that number one, Satan wants to get you in an argument. You think it's the person. It's not the person. It's Satan trying to bring division. Whenever there's an argument, I'm not talking about a stiff discussion. Sometimes our discussions get stiff because we're so passionate about what we believe. That's okay. I'm not talking about a stiff discussion with passion. I'm talking about an argument. Because one person thinks they're right and you're wrong. And they're just... And they've gone from trying to persuade you through their word to now they're trying to persuade you through their attitude. And then they go from persuading you from the word, from their word, from their attitude. Sometimes they even try to persuade you through their actions. So it gets bad. I was at what's the name of that place at Bear Grass? Deadwood. Sierra had a birthday party. And I go up and this guy's there and he's just dressed regularly. He looks at me and says, how you doing? And he had a hat on too. And I said, excuse me? He said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. How you doing? He says, good. He said, you going Sunday? I said, where? I actually thought he'd been locked up in there. Sometimes those guys have been locked up will stop me and say, how you doing, man? You really meant a lot to us. We're glad y'all guys came. Well, this guy goes, he gets talking to me, and I find out he is actually one of the guards, but he wasn't wearing all this stuff. And so he says, I'm going to tell you something. He says, when your guys come through there, he says, we have peace for the rest of the night. He says, wherever your guys go, no matter if it's general population, wherever it is, once your guys go through there, he said, it's so amazing. He said, we love to see y'all guys come. And I said, that's called Holy Ghost favor. Holy Ghost power, because it's not us. And it's like my mother-in-law, when my stepmother today, I called see how my daddy's doing, and the doctor released him from they did in-home physical therapy versus going to the hospital, and he was released today. Yesterday they released him, and daddy said, the doctor told him, said, you are amazing. He said, you're one in a thousand. He said, you should be in a nursing home or the funeral home. And he said, and you're up walking around driving and doing your stuff. He says, I've not seen anything like it. He said, and Daddy said, I'm blessed. And I said, Daddy, don't forget, you are blessed. Then my stepmama says, thank y'all for praying for me. I said, we always pray for him. She says, no, you told me, because I was standing right there, She said, you told me as soon as you called me, because it was at the end of the service, she said, you told me that your people would start praying for him immediately. And I started asking people that I could see this pray. She said, that was some powerful prayers. She said, because the doctor said he should not be alive. And said he's walking around doing good. Matter of fact, he's right hard-headed. And I skipped this generation. Yeah. And so, but then my dad, it was really funny because my dad was not supposed to be driving, but he is. And it was his birthday, 76. And so, so I said, do you need anything? He said, I can't do anything I can think of. I said, well, since you can't come home for a while, I was going to ship you something Amazon. I said, you sure need a coffee maker or something? He goes, no, sir. And about 5 minutes later, he calls back and says, you know what? I thought about that thing. He said, my coffee maker doesn't keep the coffee warm after it makes it. I said, not a problem. And so I shipped him one from Black & Decker. He said, I just want a simple one that doesn't do all this fancy stuff. I don't want these little cups. I want a big old thing. And so I said, that's cheap. There's not a problem. So I sent him Black & Decker. I said, it was so cheap. I went ahead and sent him one. They had. I said, instead of sending one to Black Walls, I sent him one with the chrome. And And so what we did was is I was walking to the hospital to see Marina. I think it was see Marina. And I get none of what Marina. She was already out. It was Cassie's mama, Terry. So I go to see Terry, and the phone, I call my dad. My thing rings and says, Amazon says, we delivered your package. So I call my dad and said, Dad, you got the package yet? He said, son, I just walked from outside and said, I don't see it. He said, oh, by the way, he says, used to give me out walks in the mailbox. He said, since I had this stroke and they've been working on me, I can walk back and forth all day long. No problem. I said, all right. He rides 5 miles on his bicycle today. It's a stationary bicycle. And so I said, well, Daddy, Amazon said they deliver. So since you feel so good, go back out and look for it. And while I'm talking to Terry, I get a call from Daddy. Daddy said, you know, that thing was sitting right outside. And so, knock. No. Oh, yeah. Well, what it did was he said, I like, and my mother-in-law, my stepmom said, we sure like that coffee pot, and we sure trust y'all's prayers. So that's pretty cool. That's like coffee, tea, and he. Instead of coffee, tea, and me, coffee, tea, he. All right. So here we go. Here we go. But see, it's sufficient. Sufficient. It's always enough. When I was on the way up there, I just kept quoting the Word of God. I kept quoting the Word of God. And then when Linda's mom was sick and all the stuff she's going through, I just keep quoting the Word of God. Quoting the Word of God. Quoting the Word of God. God's Word is sufficient. God's Word is sufficient. Okay? And then the last one, infallible. Write down, it never fails. Never fails. Okay. You normally give me a piece of candy when I'm coughing. I was gonna return the favor. All right. And I do thank that when I get bad off, Sister Mary always has something. Or you, one of y'all two. Is either Sister Kitty. Our Sister Mary always has something to calm down my cough. Yeah, that'll work. Okay. Okay. Psalm 19. The law of the Lord. I can see that slingshot wrapped around your head. Ready? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. I've seen some of the people that you would think, honestly, if you listen to them, see them, you would think they would need help knowing how to pour water out of the heel of a boot. But they start quoting the Word of God, and when they start quoting the Word of God, they're so powerful. Powerful, powerful, powerful. There's one thing I wish, and I never really thought about it until after Mama's dead and gone. Well, I did ask her one time, but she said she couldn't remember. When I'd cracked my skull and I was unconscious for 2 weeks, and I was laying on that bed, and they said that I probably wouldn't live. If I did live, I'd be a vegetable the rest of my life. And if I weren't a vegetable, at least I'd be institutionalized the rest of my life. And I only missed 2 weeks of school and was still on the honor roll. After that, I just still couldn't walk and still had a bad memory and all that. But it came out by December. All that was gone. It happened in August. But Mama said this one woman came up to her, saw her in there praying for me and said, and gave her a scripture and said, I want you to take the scripture and I want you to lay it on his chest every 2 hours when you go in to see him. I want you to read this scripture to him. She says, he doesn't even know I'm there. She says, yeah, he does. Read that scripture every time. And she said, son, after I started reading that scripture, I got hope. And it wasn't long after I got hope, we all got hope because you came to. And so, you know, again, I wish I knew. I asked my mom what scripture, so she couldn't remember. I wish she'd have wrote it down somewhere. You know, but it was just, again, it doesn't fail. And let me read it in this way. The revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road. So, it never fails. Think about it. He always knows, prophetic. It's always fresh, inspired. It is always purposeful. He's always got a reason. It is never wrong or inerrant. It's always enough or sufficient. And it never fails. It is infallible. Wow. I can't think of any other thing like that. There's not a work known to man that can do what the Word of God can. Any questions, comments, questions? Other than Larry, Curly, and Moe, anybody got anything? Look, I said that and he went. Wow, that's awesome. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Well, all prophecy. Well, with us, nobody knew this about us in prophecy. God's word can be the start of prophecy. It can be prophesied to us. When we talk, our prophecy to people usually is confirmation. Okay, so somebody comes to you and says, thus saith the Lord, you're going to be driving a red Cadillac next week. You know, now I had a phone call today, and this guy goes, hello, who is this? And he's talking in an Indian voice, and I said, this is David. He said, this is David Linton. I said, yeah. He goes, my name is Johnny. He said, you just won the publisher clearinghouse giveaway. I said, thank you, click. He wanted me to give him some kind of number. You know, if Publisher Clearinghouse won, they would drive a truck up here. They'd be taking pictures. I'd be styling and profiling with my $5,000 a week. Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to call me and I can't even understand them. Yeah. So again, if God's going to, usually if God uses somebody, and I've had this happen so many times in my life, both ways. I hear it at prison all the time. Both ways. Not just me with them, but them with me. Somebody knows absolutely nothing about me. Or sometimes y'all might not even know it. Y'all come up to me and say something out of clear blue sky and don't know that y'all were confirming what God's already speaking to my heart. Or vice versa. You know, and so it's really amazing how God uses us all as a body. And he'll just tell you things if you just listen. My problem is, I think I've got two mouths and one ear. Instead of two ears and one mouth. Yeah. Oh, definitely, 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 definitely. It's amazing, to go in and talk and somebody go, wow, wow. When you hear them go, wow, you know God's dealing and God's using you to confirm something that He's already talking with somebody, and it's not you in your own power; it's the Holy Spirit through you. And when you begin to think it's you, guess what? God will go. Yep. Oh yeah, it's awesome. Okay, any more comments? Okay. Next week, we're going to finish up on this part, and we've only got a couple more weeks of this, and we'll go to something else. Y'all did tell me what else y'all would like to be hearing, and I have forgot. I put on a piece of paper, and somebody come in and cleaned up. And when they cleaned up my paper. So, no, I got this now. Okay, so subjects. And I was going to do the counseling or just one-on-one? Which one are you talking about? Witness. Okay. Okay. Okay, relationships. Okay. That's good. All right. Anybody else? Subject? Autopsies? I don't do that. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Next. I just got through saying Larry, Curly, and Moe. But, I mean, Curly's been going at it. Now Larry's at it. Okay, now. All right, well, how about this? What about this? For our next subject, I will take these in consideration, but I'm going to pray about it, period, anyway. And after I pray about it, then we'll go into it. But we've only got a few more left on Theology 101. And so it's going to be good. No matter what we do, it's going to be good because it's going to be the Word. And when you got the Word, you got it. All right. So everybody's hearts and minds clear? Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your gracious mercy. We thank you for this night. We thank you for your Word that is truth, that is powerful, is infallible, is inerrant. God, it's whatever we need. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We thank you for it. The church said, amen and amen.